All right, welcome back to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm his wife, Desiree Greenhall.
And our goal in this podcast, one of our goals, is to our overarching goal, is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the church to be faithful members of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
That can look many and very different ways. For examples, see our repertoire, all our other episodes.
Oh, okay.
Is repertoire the right word? Maybe that's a weird use of the word repertoire.
I don't think it's like look back on our previous episodes as much as repertoires, like see what I've done.
Which,
kind of like this explains who I am type of thing.
Yeah. I don't think repertoire is the right word. I mean, I think it's one of those that like I could pull up a thesaurus and find it under their synonym for the word I'm looking for, but it'd be like a weird fit and everybody knows you'd not actually use it there.
Yeah.
You know? I've definitely done that. Just to look smart in my papers. And then I use a word and the teacher's like, that's not really how you use this word. I'm like, but it was in the thesaurus. She's like, I thought that's where you found it.
That's funny. Should we go on to what we've been doing?
Sure. I should have been drinking. Oh, there's water. Can you just pass me a water bottle?
Yeah, I have to get up.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll chat while you get
bye
up.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah, she'll be back. She has to go all of 3 feet. Oh, she's plugged in. Don't forget you're plugged in. Oh, yeah, you can hear the rattling of the water bottles. I forgot my water bottle upstairs, but we have some bottled ones down here that you'll get to hear open. Hopefully I don't spill on the Chromebook. Anyway, what have we been doing?
You've been... I feel like we always talk about working in our lawn, so we can skip that.
She's calling me a lawn dad. I'm not a lawn dad.
Because your lawn's not nice?
Because my lawn is still trash. I just am learning about my lawn.
It's not
trash. Well, it's not trash. That's true. There is grass if you look hard enough.
Trash is like no grass, just weeds and rocks and dirt.
And junk.
And junk.
I noticed our neighbors have been cleaning out. The one, like, you gotta, like, peek through the fence slats to see. Now I sound like a creepy
guy. Like our back?
Like a back neighbor, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was, like, a big swath of debris all cleared out. I was like, maybe I'll get a disc back.
Oh, yeah, because you lost a disc back there.
Yeah. That was the day I learned that I can't throw drivers in our backyard anymore.
Yep.
Made it over a 7-foot fence, something like that.
Yeah, it's a pretty tall fence. It's
taller than me, so maybe just 6 feet. I'm not sure. Either way. We'll skip the lawn stuff now that we've talked about it.
What see. Else, man? I feel like
sickness.
It's just been...
Wasn't I sick?
Yeah, but I think
I don't think I had poison ivy yet. I think poison ivy was after that.
Yeah. You had poison ivy.
Yeah. And now it's I'm finally not having to wrap my arm anymore.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I'm very thankful that I don't get it as bad as when I was younger. Because when I was younger, I used to get it really bad. It would just, my theory is it got into my bloodstream and got everywhere. Because, like, I would get it so bad that, like, my eyelids were swollen so bad that I literally could not open them.
Or you were a kid, and so you got into it, and then you rubbed your hands all over your face.
But, like, I didn't even get into it. And it just was everywhere. I don't know.
It's the oil on the plant.
I know, but there were some times when, like, we went on a field trip and we were in a park and there was no poison ivy. But I came back and I had poison ivy and I have no idea how.
I don't know.
But there's a lot of ways it can spread. Like, it's an invisible oil. Well, it's an oil that you don't even notice or anything.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
Greasy.
Yeah.
But nobody else got it, so that's nice.
Yeah.
I, like, washed your clothes
three times. Even tonight is looking a lot better than it was this morning. I think just having the bandage off has helped.
Yep.
I've
been trying to play with the kids more.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally.
Mm-hmm. We moved the futon.
Yeah, because they're sharing a room now. Mm-hmm. So we have the extra room, which is like the playroom.
Yep.
So we put the futon up there just because for a parent playing with your kid, it's a little nicer to have a soft place to sit than the floor.
It's much more inviting to go in there and play with them.
Because I worked on my menu in there.
Place to sit and read with them.
Yeah.
Because
I figured they'd play a little better with me working on the Chromebook if I was in the room. But I was sitting on the floor for like half an hour and my tailbone was like dying.
Yep.
So.
I feel like it's been a lot of mowing though. I worked on Excel stuff still. Taking my classes.
You didn't mow at church today though.
I did not mow at church today.
Oops.
I forgot to text.
You'll have to text somebody.
We'll get it figured out.
Well, maybe we should just move on to what we're learning.
Yeah. So we're back in the catechism this week, looking at the question, who is the Bible for? Do you want to read the answer for that this
sure.
week?
Sure. Let's see here.
I can take more of the reading this week since your voice has been reading a lot of books to Sophia today.
I'll let you know when I'm getting tired.
Okay.
The Bible is for all people.
I was ready for you to say then. I'm tired.
Oh. The Bible is for all people. It is able to be understood by anyone with the help of the Holy Spirit. It ought to be heard, read, studied, loved, and obeyed by everyone.
Yeah, it's an interesting... It caught me off guard. Here's what we've been doing. I actually read through this ahead of time today.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't get a chance to read them ahead of time. I have a couple of times.
I usually do.
Well, okay. I don't not have a chance to read them ahead of time, but I'm just like, well, I enjoy kind of learning along with everybody, but today we had time, and I was like, let's just read it ahead of time. So, and like, I read all these, I think all of them, when they first came in, like when they were first written.
Oh,
and,
did
and
you?
Released. I think so. Not. Because, well, especially for most of them, I was still clerking at PDI.
Oh, so you had time.
So I had time when they came in that day, because I think they came in on like a Saturday. I'm not entirely sure. I don't remember anymore. Anyway, when we read this earlier, I was interested that he said, it is able to be understood by anyone with the help of the Holy Spirit. I thought that was an interesting word choice because of, well, who that includes and who that doesn't exclude.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually jumps into it a little bit in the explanation. So we'll get there. Do you remember that? You look confused. Okay.
No, yeah.
The main scripture passage that we're looking at is Deuteronomy 29:29, which is, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law." Of this law. Excuse me. I mean, it is his law, but it's of this law. And then we have several scripture passages. Footnote 1. Do you want to grab that one?
Oh, yes. In the back, the verses.
Yeah, I'm jumping all the way to the scripture first.
Sorry. Okay.
I'll grab number 1. Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Bear in mind, at this point, when the Psalms were being written, the law, if I remember correctly, don't quote me on this, but research this, was like what they had of the revealed scripture at that point.
Yeah, I think it was just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
I believe so. Or did they have like the Book of the Kings? Did David ever talk about, or was David written about in the Book of the Kings? First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles?
Is David writing this psalm?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, well, belay my last. We shall see later. But either way, law there is referring to the scriptures, some or all of what they had, at least some of what they had or all of what they had of revealed scripture at that point. They didn't have, I know for sure they didn't have Old and New Testament. I can say safely.
Yes.
All right.
Number 2 is Psalm 1:1-2. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers."
Yep. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And there are a couple of the Proverbs listed there, as well as Deuteronomy 6. Oh, Deuteronomy 6. Mm-hmm. That's like the...
Put them on your forehead.
Talk about this here and then and everywhere and all the time and in everything and think about it and teach it to everybody and, you know.
Yeah.
Be surrounded by the word of God, essentially.
Yep. And then 2 Peter Scripture, 1.
This is... Uh-oh. That was me. That was my phone dinging.
Passage number 4, 2 Peter 1:21. "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit."
And there's two more passages to go with that footnote.
1 Corinthians 2:13, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." Oh, dear. 1 Peter 1:22.
"You didn't tell me you put rocks in this water."
"Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart."
Oh dear, I might be down for the count.
Are you still dying?
I'm still dying a little
bit. It's probably all those plastic toxins in that plastic bottled water.
I'm sorry, guys. All right, I have two passages for, oh boy, I'm going to make it through this one. And then I have to
Here,
mute my
you
microphone.
Want me to read the next one?
Nope, I'm going to get this one.
Okay.
I'm determined. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." And Revelation 5:9. "And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth."
Number 6, Luke 8:8. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Number 7?
I got it.
Oh, okay.
Footnote 7 is 2 passages again. First one is Nehemiah 8:8. Ooh, a little bit of microphone noise. Wow, this is a rough one. Sorry, guys. Production value is lower. Nehemiah 8:8. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. Oh, interesting. That they note in scripture that the reading, they took the time to be clear about the reading.
Mm, yeah.
Interesting. Maybe I should slow down. We need to move my note now that we're sitting in a different spot. Oh, we didn't even talk about updating. Anyway, Nehemiah 8:8. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. That's interesting. I really want to know what that passage means a little bit more.
And they gave the sense.
Yeah. Hmm. Does that mean they added inflection to the reading
we'll
as they were clear?
We'll have to look at the context.
That's the sense I get from it. Pun kind of intended. Question mark. All right. Also, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he, that is Christ, put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Wait a minute. The first he is God,
the
isn't
first
it?
He, I think, is God. Yeah. Whoops. Okay, hang on.
And he, God, put all things under his feet, Jesus, and gave him as head over all things to
Ephesians
the church.
Ephesians 1?
Yeah, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23.
Okay, Ephesians 1, 22... let me back up.
Because I know Christ is the head of the church.
For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus, I'm going to have to edit this podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. This
You're
is a note to editor Daniel.
Slurping, burping, and coughing over there.
This is a note to editor Daniel that you need to, am I going to be like Charlie? Whenever I listen to the Thinklings, I hear Charlie making a note to editor Charlie to edit something out, and then he doesn't.
Or he just leaves that to be funny.
Oh, okay.
That's probably what he does.
Well, you'll find out whether I left it or not. Okay. Verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know him, the hope to which you're called, the immeasurable riches
of your power. Are you reading the whole chapter?
No, I just backed up a couple of verses.
Okay.
According to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, the he above every name, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head. Okay, yeah, so yeah. The first he is God.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Ephesians 1:22, and he, that is God, put all things under his feet and gave him, that is Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is his, Christ's, body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's a lot of he's and him's in that passage.
Yeah.
I think I got it all that time.
I think so.
If not, I'm sure someone will gladly correct me, but I'm pretty sure I got all my he's and him's correct there. Whoof. Okay.
And then
footnote number eight.
Joshua.
Well, it's not passage number eight. It's footnote number eight.
Yeah. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
And footnote number 9, Psalm 119, verse 47. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. And lastly, footnote 10, 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. All right. That was a lot to get through for footnotes.
Yeah, lots of passages.
Or just me talking a lot and having a coughing attack. So, the main explanation of our question, who is the Bible for? The Bible is for all people. It is able to be understood by anyone with the help of the Holy Spirit. It ought to be heard, read, studied, loved, and obeyed by everyone. Let's hear some explanation on that.
Okay. Some books are for kids. Well,
like Little Blue Truck? I was going to give some examples.
Oh, okay.
Little Blue Truck.
Yeah, except I like that one too.
But it's for kids.
Oh, true. Some books are for kids, while other books are for adults.
I don't have a good example.
Like the Deacon's Book.
Yeah.
By Stott.
Okay. Doesn't mean that kids can't read it.
It's for
But it's
adults.
For adults. Exactly, yeah.
There are some books which are difficult for kids.
Like Narnia.
And even some adults.
Narnia.
to understand. And then there are other books which neither kids nor adults should ever read.
Twilight. Oh, dear. I mean, I could probably think of a better one, but I don't really want to name things on our podcast yeah. that we also shouldn't read. So we'll move on.
The Bible, however.
The Bible, however.
The Bible, however, is for all people. What does this mean?
I'm glad you asked. Yo, you don't get that quote. It's from 321 Penguins. If anyone
I've
listening.
I've watched 321 Penguins.
Okay, do you remember the quote? I'm glad you asked.
No.
Okay. I didn't think you got that quote.
I've only watched them once.
If anyone gets that quote, then you must be part of my family, because that was a quote that, like, nobody ever saw those shows, and there's no point in, like, quoting that, because that's just a normal thing to say, but we quoted it, and we always knew it was from 321 Penguins. Mm. Anyway, what does this mean? It's a good question. I ask it all the time. First off, the Bible is for all people. Can I take this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
You already read it once, though.
No coughing attacks.
Okay. So if I have a coughing attack, you're just going to take over?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. First off, the Bible is for all people. What do I mean by all people? I'm glad you asked. Okay, that wasn't in there. Sorry.
Stop getting sidetracked.
Very simply, everyone. No one is excluded, no matter how old you are, if you are male or female, your background and beliefs, how much stuff you have, your physical features and abilities, where you live, or even when you live in human history. That's very important, by the way, to think both geographically and historically. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Just makes me think of, like, the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Like,
or, like, the 1500s.
Just thinking, like, the Bible's important then, too.
I mean, I don't know much about the Stone Age and what actual years it was and if it was an actual thing or not, or just, like, an
like
evolutionary
I'm thinking,
idea.
Like, the time of castles and knights, that age.
Okay.
Isn't that Stone Age?
I don't know.
Castle.
I'm just going to leave it as an
we'll
I don't know.
Castle Age.
We'll call it the Castle Age. Is that when they invented chess?
Nobody can get on me for my history. I'm terrible at history. I need to retake
so
history.
You probably shouldn't make history quotes.
Yeah. The age of the castles
yes.
is always the one I think
the
of
lords
when
and
I
ladies.
Think of history. And to me, it's just weird that, like, people in castles probably read,
like,
the Bible.
They were actual people. Yes. That,
and that's
yeah.
just crazy to me.
Actually, yeah.
It shouldn't be crazy, but mm-hmm. just thinking about the Bible through time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even when you live in human history. So as we're talking about it here, all means all people, every person, everyone. But how do we know this? Well, the Bible shows us that it is for all people. By that, I mean how God intends for his word to function demonstrates that it's for everyone. That is, the Bible is God's word and has been given to us by him so that we might know him. Does God want everyone to know him? Most definitely. And I really wish there was a scripture passage for that. It shouldn't be hard to back up, but that's actually an issue. Now, like, what he says here is an issue, but that's an issue that some people will disagree on.
That God doesn't want everyone to know him, they think?
Yes.
Huh.
Does God want everyone to know him? Because will everyone know him? Like, as Savior.
Oh, and if he actually mm-hmm. wanted it, he would do it.
Yes. So what does it mean that God wants everyone to know him when that actually isn't what happens?
Mm.
So anyway, but I agree
well,
here.
Everybody will know him at some point.
Yes, but that's not what he means.
Okay.
And since his word is the best way to know him, then his word is for all people. But the Bible also tells us that it's for all people. Throughout the Bible, God lets us know that his word is meant to be pursued and cherished by everyone, young and old alike.
Passage 1?
Yeah. For example, look at our verse above. God hasn't revealed everything to us. That's important. But the things he has revealed to us belong to us and to our children forever. That's through Deuteronomy 29:29. We can see the same sort of thing in Psalms as well. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth and tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord. Psalm 78:1-4. Scripture passage 2.
Sorry.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Proverbs also makes it very clear that God's word is for all sorts of people, especially for parents in the instruction of their children.
Mm-hmm.
Footnote number 3. Now, I also said that the Bible is for all people. How should we understand the word for? First, it is intended for all people. God has given his word, the Bible, as a gift, not to a select group of people, not to, like, an elite group, but to all people. You okay over there?
I just had an inside burp, and
I hope
it wasn't picked up.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that.
I'm sure you asked.
Listeners of the podcast. Yeah. You're giving me a goofy look. What am I supposed to do? The Bible is given, intended. Let me just start the sentence over again. God has given his word, the Bible, as a gift not to a select group of people, but to all people. Second, it is applicable for all people. Unlike some gifts that are given only to help a few people, all people can benefit from the Bible. Third, it is necessary for all people. The Bible isn't only helpful for all people, but even more, it is what everyone actually needs. And fourth, it is understandable. If the Bible is for all people, in the three ways we just mentioned, then all people must be able to understand it. But what does this mean? The question's coming up a lot.
Yep.
I'm glad you asked.
Ready for the next section? Yeah, go for it. The Bible is able to be understood by anyone. In a previous question, we briefly looked at the understandability of the Bible. Here, I want to go a bit further, though. Because of how the Bible was written and what God intends for the Bible, there is a sense in which anyone can and should pick it up, read it, and be able to come to a basic understanding what it says.
Of what it says.
Okay.
We missed a word.
It is, after all, written in normal human language.
Now, it wasn't written clearly in our language, but it was written to its intended audience. It was written in their normal human language. Yes.
Whale speak.
Correct.
Yes.
Good example.
Using normal human literary forms, grammar, figures of speech, genre.
Yes.
So it wasn't tongues. It wasn't babbling.
It wasn't, and it also wasn't like they needed to read between the lines of everything to figure out what was really going on. It was given plainly to them.
Mm-hmm. But know this. No one naturally understands the meaning of those same words, sentences, and passages. What does God mean by what he has said? And what does his word mean for me? These are the questions that anyone on his or her own, no matter how smart they are, cannot accept. The Bible in this way is, again, unique among all other books.
Sorry, that sentence lost me because I was like, what? These are the questions that anyone on his or her own, that's the key to the sentence. These are questions that anyone on his or her own cannot accept. Doesn't matter how smart they are, if they're on their own, i.e. without the help of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get to, they cannot accept it. Sorry, that sentence took me by surprise. So go ahead.
The Bible in this way is, again, unique among all other books. For though it is literary, it is a book, it is also spiritual. It is authored by God.
Yeah, that's something you can't say. There are other books that are like, ooh, this is a spiritual book because we're talking about spirits, or we think or we believe that it was handed down from God, but this is the only one that actually was.
But it was We talked about that a little bit already. Author straight from the mind of a man.
Not the Bible.
No, other books.
Correct, yes.
It is the product of the Holy Spirit communicating spiritual truths intended to transform our soul. Footnote four. And God tells us that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, and that he is not able to understand them, from 2 Corinthians 2:14. Natural here means someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. More on him later. Natural is what everyone is apart from God. In this way, understanding the Bible is not so much a matter of how smart I am, but of what my heart is like before him. So while the Bible is for all people, and it is intended to be understood by all people, yet no one will profit from God's word without his help. We must approach the Bible as it is, as God's word, and as God intends, with humility and submission.
I like statements like that, which whether I like it or not doesn't really matter, but I'm going to share why I liked it. So God tells us that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God and that he is not able to understand him. So anytime I understand scripture, no matter whether I feel like it was my smartness or whether it was, I feel like it was the Holy Spirit, I know that that was only given to me by the Holy Spirit.
That's crazy.
If I'm actually understanding it properly.
Yeah.
I used to struggle with this. I'd be like pondering. Like, you know how, like, when you're in the shower and you just have time to think?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's just, that's when I have time to think. So I'd be sitting there thinking, how do I know if this is, if I'm trying to, like, overcome this on my own strength or on God's strength? And then I was like, well, I need to trust that if I'm able to obey, anytime I'm able to, like, actually do an act of righteousness and do it well and do it from a pure heart, or at least any semblance of good motive, then I know that it was God giving me the strength to do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it, because it, powering through something or like getting past something or slowly pecking away at being disciplined and more disciplined and more disciplined every day doesn't have to feel like it's the power of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. for it to actually be the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Especially, it might feel like my own strength, but where did that come from? It might feel like my own mental fortitude, but where did that come from?
Yeah.
If I'm actually doing righteousness, it's actually from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
No matter what it feels like to me. And then I can pray and thank God. God, thanks. It doesn't feel like it was you, but I know that it was you. Mm-hmm. And I need to trust that it was you. And I need to be humble enough to admit that, yes, it was you.
Yeah. I think I assume that the Holy Spirit's going to work, like, fix me a specific area of sin in, like, a day. I'm like, oh, man, this is an issue. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to do better.
Yeah,
and that was then like, I struggle with it the next day, the next.
I would say that was, like, all of my childhood, but, like, I still think like that sometimes.
Mm.
I remember when I was a kid, I would, like, barter with God in my mind in gym class. It was always in gym class. I'm like, if I could just dunk one time, then I'd know that God exists. Or, like, God, if I could just dunk one time, I will, like, be perfect for you for the next day or something like that.
Read my Bible every
day. Yeah, it was always, like, some athletic thing, and I don't know why.
Because you're,
like,
competitive, that's
well,
why.
Well, okay, yes, probably. And prideful, more importantly.
Yeah.
And wanted to, like, be seen as the best, so.
God, if you appease my pride,
yeah,
I'll serve you forever.
Yeah, I promise if you help me be prideful, I'll be humble for you. That's actually what I was saying, yeah.
Okay, you were getting Sorry. The next section?
Yes, anyway, I really appreciate hard and fast passages like that where I know that it's not possible to understand the word of God on my own. So if I am understanding the word of God, I can have confidence that it's the Holy Spirit and not my own smarts.
Yep.
I mean, clearly you've heard me rambling on this podcast. It's not my smarts.
And it helps encourage you as parents as well.
Yeah, that's true.
To know that it's not ultimately up to us that we change her heart, but it will be the Holy Spirit's work.
It's not actually up to us at all that we change our hearts any more than we can pray that we would be used as instruments of change within our life.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. This one's mine, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The Bible ought to be ... Not that the Bible ought to be ... but the Bible ought to be, and we'll fill in those blanks in a minute. This is where the rubber meets the road. Not literally, figuratively. We'll get there. Because the Bible is for all people in the ways that we've discussed above, all people, including you and me, ought to pursue the Bible. The Bible is for me. The Bible is for you. God has given it to us, and we must do something with it. To put it another way, each one of us have certain responsibilities with regard to the Bible. It's one thing to know about the Bible. It's another thing to do something with the Bible. We need the Bible, and we must pursue the Bible. But what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Let me summarize what you and I need to do with the Bible. Then, between the two remaining questions about the Bible, we'll look at this a bit more. First, we ought to hear it. By hear it, I do mean we should listen to the Bible read and taught to us. But I'm also using hearing as the Bible often uses the word hearing. We should hear in such a way that we take seriously what God has said. Christ said this often. He would say, give ear.
Yes.
It's like, I think hear, the King hear. James. Yeah. Hear, hear might be the King James.
Isn't it verily, verily?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I think you're right. But either way, it's like
a little bit of KJV.
Yep. Listen and actually engage your mind, people. That's kind of the idea behind it. Maybe not as fervent as I just said it, but either way. Also, we ought to read it. The Bible was written down. It was meant to be read. So we should read it like so many people have faithfully done in the past. We ought to study it. The Bible uses words like meditate, which, by the way, does not mean emptying your mind. At some point, maybe we'll chat about meditation.
What? Oh, yeah, I guess some people do automatically think emptying your mind when you say the word meditate.
Putting your fingers in circles and saying, yeah. Like all the kids and people think of, I just need time to meditate. Even like, I'm going to hesitantly say within pop culture, meditation is a thing, but I also might be 10 years out of date. I have no idea.
I feel like the thing now is manifesting, but maybe that was also like 2 years ago.
Or like needing some me time. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, self-care. That's we're getting sidetracked.
Either way. The word meditate, broadly speaking, as used in scripture, as I understand it, typically refers to like taking time to specifically think about a thing, a specific thing, specific time to think about a specific thing. In this case, it was usually scripture. It wasn't trying to get everything out of your mind. That's moronic. It is. You can't actually do it, for one, and two, that doesn't help you in any way. But that's a topic for another time.
I like to use the phrase dwelling on
such
and such a topic.
Yep. Giving intentional thought to a thing.
Mm-hmm.
without thinking of other distractions. So you are clearing your mind of distractions. Anyway, the Bible uses words like meditate and ideas like eating and digesting food to help us understand that we should carefully study what it says. I love those analogies. I've come to love the idea of food.
Well, it also convicted me when we read this earlier and into how much I've put effort and thought and study into like dieting, eating, health,
lawn, disc golf.
Yeah. Well, not those.
No, I know, but I'm giving examples for me.
And that's what made me think
of it.
Is how much thought I've put, study I put into this. And then I'm like, but how much study have I put into the word and my spiritual health, not just physical health?
Yeah. So that makes sense. Sorry, I was going through like, I was going down a different train of thought.
Different train of thought, but that's okay.
It uses ideas. The Bible uses words like meditate and ideas like eating and digesting food to help us understand that we should carefully study what it says. You might even use the phrase chew the cud. Typically, I don't though. We ought to love it. Our joy and delight should be in the very words of God. Oh, there's been a lot of footnotes in here, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's okay.
But they're in there. And we ought to obey it. If we read the Bible but don't do what it says, the Bible will be ineffective in our lives. So as much as we should take it in, we should also work it out in obedience. Footnote 10.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible teaches about the Bible.
So which one of those do you struggle with most?
Which one of what?
Read it, study it, love it, or obey it?
Read it, study it, love it, obey it. Well, if I don't read or study or love, I'm also not obeying. Too. So probably obey because it covers all the other ones.
Sounds like you answer.
Yeah, that is a very mean answer.
Hear it for me.
Oh, I forgot hear
it. Because reading it to me, that's easy. I can read.
Yeah.
But actually, like, I need to read this and hear what it's saying.
Okay, question.
What?
Listening to it as an audiobook, does that count as reading or hearing?
Well, when he says hear, it means we should hear in such a way that we take seriously what God has said. So it's
so when I'm reading it, I'm also doing the hearing that it's talking about.
Well, you should also be doing it. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And so, because I find myself sometimes in the morning when I'm doing my devotions and I'm like reading through before I start actively studying it. And I'm just like, meh, 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 instead of like actually.
The one that sticks out to me as hardest is actually love it. Because as soon as I read, I'm like, oh, I forgot how satisfying and enjoyable. Like, proper uses of both of those words that this is. But then like when I'm not forcing myself to read it sometimes, or when it's been a while since I forced myself to read it, then I'm like, but disc golf and lawns and YouTube and my relationship with my wife and movies and 100 cupboards and tech and everything else. I'm like, but these are fun. They are fun, but they're not actually satisfying. Yeah. They're not actually enjoyable.
I think that's why it's important to do it so often, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm never going to feel the love, because do I love it? Yes, I'm choosing to love God's word.
Yeah.
But it's going to be harder for that to come easier unless I'm in it a lot.
Yeah, I should clarify that I know that choosing to love a thing is a choice to love a thing.
Right.
But the explanation here is our joy and delight should be in the very words of God. So I was keying more off of the joy and delight idea than like a choice to love. So
The delight comes easier.
Yeah.
When you're in it consistently.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Or just when I actually do it for the first time. I think for me, it's like when I read for the first time after like a drought, then I'm like, oh, yeah, this is nice. I never want to stop. I don't want
to
go back to
work. So I need to go on another drought so I can enjoy
it again. No, that's probably the toughest for me. All right.
This
do you have more?
Is what the Bible teaches that. About the Bible. Oh, you did? I missed
I
that
did.
Part. I was probably thinking. Sorry.
That's okay. I suppose it's you're good. Allowed to think.
I've really
Even
enjoyed
Even though you're
these.
A woman, you're allowed to think.
Wow. Thanks.
I'm going to get.
For your permission.
I'm going to get canceled. We'd have been canceled by now if we were going to get canceled.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think 20 people are enough to cancel us. All right.
That's true.
What have we been reading? I read this ahead of time, but that doesn't really count. Oh, my chair is
I finished
back
Little
forward.
Women, and then I also watched the, what is it, 1994?
Yeah, the 1994 Sony
BBC,
Pictures
Sony.
Little Woman.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the movie,
I enjoyed
too.
It, too. I haven't read the book, but I enjoyed watching the movie with you.
Yeah. I think I already mentioned my final thoughts on that on here before, so.
Okay.
I need to get into another book. I need to read the Evangelism, Nine Marks book.
Is that by Stiles?
Because we're going to cover that next week. I don't know. I might have said the wrong author for the Deacons, too. But, and then I saw I had Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. I've started that. I haven't finished it yet, so I should probably finish that. But I also need a book that's not...
J. Max Stiles. That's Evangelism.
Okay. So I'm thinking finishing Even Exile, getting back to that. I've started it, but I haven't finished it yet. So.
Oh, okay. I finally finished the last book in the 100 Cupboards series, the prequel.
Yeah.
The Door Before. So I finally finished that. I enjoyed it. It was good. I'd probably have more to say on it, but I enjoyed reading through it. I enjoyed action. I think, and Endy has also said that he's like good at writing action. There are other things that he's not as good at writing, but like the action sequences within his books, he feels like he's pretty good at writing, and I think so too. They're very gripping, engaging, keep me reading. I know it's a young adult fiction, not young adult, kids fiction.
Yeah, it's like 12-year-old.
Yeah, but there's like a specific name. Like he won't write, I think it's, he doesn't write young adult because then you have to have like love interest, dumb stuff.
Oh, I see.
But his is technically kids fiction.
Oh, so like middle school age?
He'd probably stone me for not knowing, but I don't remember. Either way.
Probably junior
fiction. I enjoyed it. I probably won't read it to Sophia yet, but we have started reading Narnia to Sophia. Because we started watching the movie and got like a few minutes in and it was getting to a scary part. So we're like, we'll read the books instead. So, yep.
But she's enjoying it. I'm on the second Little House on the Prairie book. I think this one's actually called Little House on the Prairie.
But you're reading it to Sophia, not just reading. Yeah.
No. Yeah, to Sophia.
I think that's it. Yeah. There's another one I'm going to start, but I haven't started it. So I won't mention it yet.
The one
for we're not mentioning it.
Okay.
I'm going to stick to it because every other time I've said I'm not going to mention it because I haven't started it yet. And then I talk about it anyway, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
Anything else?
I've
read a lot about lawn care stuff. I've read a lot about Excel stuff, but that's like saying, hey, I worked on schoolwork.
Yeah.
It is reading. So like that's what's taking my time with reading. It hasn't been as exciting. Like I enjoy it, but it's not as pertinent to this podcast. I'm not going to tell you, oh yeah, I learned about conditional formatting in Excel, because everybody's like, okay, cool, give me something I'll read. So that's about it.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening. Hopefully the catechism is helpful, pertinent,
refreshing.
Yep. If you want to just ever, well, if you already listened to this part, then it's too late for that. But if you ever want to just listen to the passages at the beginning and skip the whole catechism, cool, sure, do it.
Yeah. Otherwise,
but if you're here, you don't know that.
Because we always link it below.
Yes. Hopefully those links always work.
So
I've checked them and they've always worked for me, but yeah. I haven't like gone all the way back. So you can check that out if you prefer to just read it. I know the author of the catechism prefers to read things to listen to them or watch videos. So if you're one of those people that would rather read it, by all means, go ahead and read it. You don't have to listen to our inflections and coughing fits.
Yeah.
It might be easier. But until next time, thanks for listening and keep serving.
Or start serving.
Within your local church.
Bye.